Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. This is Ken Johnston, and I'm joined by my good friend, Father Doug McKay. Hello, Father. It helps to hit the button. Hello, Father.
Hey, Ken.
How are you, pal?
Good. How about yourself?
All right. All right. You on the speakerphone there?
No, I'm not. Yeah.
Okay. No. Very good. It sounds like you're in a tunnel sometimes on those speakerphones.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners today. We're happy that you're able to join us. And just a reminder that Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anybody else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Also remind you that Father and I are available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. She'll put you in touch with us and we can make something happen. Also, coming up in April, on Sunday, April the 30th, will be our annual Wake Up America Dinner. And it'll take place, as it does every year, at St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania. A couple of final details are up in the air. I know from listening the last couple of days that Kathleen is, because it's the 40th anniversary of the radio apostolate, we're trying to add a mass before the dinner itself. And that may affect the actual cost. So as of right now, it's April the 30th. The date will remain the same. It's just a matter of whether it'll be from 1:30 to 5:30 or 12:30 to 5:30 with Mass. So stay tuned for more details, but in any event, circle the date on your calendar and hopefully you can be with us that day. So we like to begin our show as we begin all things with a prayer. So in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of the church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery.
Pray for us.
Matt Talbot.
Pray for us.
St. Paul.
Pray for us.
St. Thomas Aquinas.
Pray for us.
St. Francis de Sales.
Pray for us.
All the angels and saints.
Pray for us.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.
Amen. So this is a one-hour call-in show, so anybody can join in and join the conversation. The number's here, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or perhaps you're listening over the internet at inhissign.com. You can also reach us at 888-343-2484. That's 888-34-FAITH. So last week we had some holes and days without official saints, and this week we have a full slate. Began on Sunday with St. Vincent, on Monday with St. Mary Ann Cope, a Franciscan. Yesterday, Tuesday, we celebrated the feast of St. Francis de Sales. Today is the conversion of St. Paul. Thursday would be two apostles and writers in Scripture, Saints Timothy and Titus. Friday, we'll celebrate Saint Angela Merici, another secular Franciscan. And then on Saturday, another doctor of the church, two of them this week, in Saint Thomas Aquinas. So when Father and I were preparing for the show, we thought that since today was the Feast of the Conversion of Saint Paul, be a good place to start, and we're actually going to start with the reading from Mass today. And not the Gospel, but the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, and we had two options today. One is Acts chapter 22, which is Paul talking about his conversion firsthand. But the one we're going to read is the second option from Acts chapter 9, which is Luke's description of Paul's conversion. So it's Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verses 1 to 22. Saul, still breathing murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, that if he should find any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them back to Jerusalem in chains. On his journey, as he was nearing Damascus, a light from the sky suddenly flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, sir?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, for they heard the voice but could see no one. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. For 3 days he was unable to see, and he neither ate nor drank. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and ask at that house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is there praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, that he may regain his sight." But Ananias replied, "Lord, I have heard from many sources about this man, that evil things he has done to your holy ones in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to imprison all who call upon your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for this man is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel, and I will show him what he will have to suffer for my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. Laying his hands on him, he said, "Saul, my brother, the Lord has sent me, Jesus, who appeared to you on the way by which you came, that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately things like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. He got up and was baptized, and when he had eaten, he recovered his strength. He stayed some days with the disciples in Damascus, and he began to at once to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. All who heard him were astounded and said, "Is not this the man who in Jerusalem ravaged those who call upon this name, and came here expressly to take them back in chains to the chief priests?" But Saul grew all the stronger and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus, proving that this is the Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, one of the first things that stands out, Father, is a lot of people talk about Saul getting knocked off his horse, and of course we know that there's no reference to a horse in either story of Saul's conversion, but in any event, he is knocked to the ground, and here's a man that's on his way from, or on his way into Damascus to retrieve those that had started to follow Christ and chain them up and drag them back to Jerusalem. We know that that he had been at Stephen's martyrdom when Stephen was stoned, and really a gruesome guy. And in it, not so much in an instant, but over the course of these 3 days, almost the same as Jesus and the time he spent in the tomb. But in Paul, when he's knocked down, is leading one life, and when he comes to 3 days, really comes to 3 days later, through the healing of Ananias, is a completely changed man. And for myself, it shows the power of God and His ability to change any of us and all of us if we allow it. And In Scripture, there's dramatic cases of this. Whether it's the calling of the apostles and Matthew the tax collector who's converted, or people who's had been filled with demons or healed. But we see the ability for people to change. We've talked about saints on this show in the past whose lives were less than stellar. Take Augustine and what have you, and they go through this conversion process. And it shows how awesome God can be. And, you and I, Father, through Calyx and some of the work we do together, we get to see it on a smaller scale sometimes, some of these conversions that go on, people that have led lives of alcohol and drugs and crime and what have you, all of a sudden find themselves back on the path to our Lord Jesus Christ and establishing that that relationship. So I think Paul is the ultimate example. The bad guy turned good, and of course, certainly not done on his own, but only with God's help.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that horse you mentioned too, Ken. I think that's where the expression comes from, knocked off our high horse. And also the other line I think comes from Paul's conversion experience was, I've seen the light, not the Bud Light, but the Christ light.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. First of all, Paul always had the zeal. I mean, he loved God, in the beginning. He served the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he was born in Tarsus, which was a Roman province, which made him, a Roman citizen. And then he was a Pharisee, a strict Pharisee, and he didn't want anybody interfering with the law and the prophets. So he had all this zeal, so much so that he was going out after the Christians, taking them to prison. That's where he was on his way to Damascus to arrest the Christians and bring them back in chains. But we have to remember that first execution of Stephen, that, it's Saul, Paul, that's there. And all the cloaks are piled at his feet, which shows that Saul is the one in authority there. He's the one in charge. And you hear those words from St. Stephen, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And then he prays, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. But Father, forgive them. Forgive this Saul, because he doesn't know what he's doing. And I often think about conversions. Like St. Augustine said, if Stephen didn't pray for Saul, we wouldn't have a St. Paul. That Stephen offered his life for this, changeover from Saul. So he takes the same zeal, and it's rechanneled. And he gets to know Jesus on this road to Damascus in this blinding light. And, he experiences him. And this is ironic, because Paul sees, and now he's blind. But now he sees. He sees the truth in his blindness. And then he, comes out of that and baptized by Ananias. And really, he goes into the Arabia shortly after his preaching, because he's not too well accepted. And he goes into the desert, for years. And then all of a sudden, he comes down in all the mountains here, and he has this wonderful theology. He hasn't met any apostles yet, until after the 3 years. He stays with Peter for 15 days. And Paul says that it was no human invention that taught me this. It was Jesus Christ himself by revelation that gave him his authority, that gave him his teaching, his knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Paul was on fire preaching that word. But I like that expression, this conversion, because, you see Stephen, with the prayer, how powerful that sacrificial prayer is to win over Saul to Paul. You think of St. Augustine's conversion from Monica's prayers and sacrifices to win her son over. Without her prayers, we wouldn't have St. Augustine. And I think about other conversions, like what we're gearing up to, Ken, as we know so well, for the March for Life on Friday. And, Dr. Nathanson comes to mind. I wonder how many people were praying for him, making sacrifices. Look at that conversion, where he becomes one of the strongest advocates for pro-life, who was Mr. Abortion. No one did more abortions than he did. But those prayers and sacrifices converted him. And there's other people that are strong, pro-choice people. And we're called to really offer ourselves and pray sacrificial prayers and to pray for their conversions, to win them over, because they bring that same zeal, but only this time they bring it for the truth. So so, you know, conversion, you know, it's so beautiful. And, you know, I was listening to, like, even when Paul receives his conversion, you know, he meets Jesus. But yet, you know, it's still more to come. You know, we think, okay, yeah, Paul has it all together, but he doesn't. Right. You know, he's going to struggle. He's going to talk about that thorn in the flesh. He's going to, you know, I think that thorn in the flesh, Ken, was an addiction to alcohol. You know, as I read it over and over again, his epistles, he speaks a lot about alcohol, and he takes that Nazarite vow, which he shaves his head, and they swear off of alcohol. You know, so that thorn in the flesh very well could have been an addiction to alcohol that he was too ashamed to name. But it was that thorn in the flesh, that weakness, you know, that kept him so close to Jesus. You know, where the three times, you know, Paul says, take this thorn away, and Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. And it was that grace that really kept Paul close to Jesus all the time, that kept him humble and close to the Lord Jesus, that grace. In fact, this day, in a lot of the Western church, most of the churches, this was a holy day of obligation, the conversion of Paul, because of the miracle of grace, that the Lord intervened. And like he intervenes in so many of our lives, those who are in addiction, you know, that are weak, and suddenly you give up, and all of a sudden, you know, this powerful grace comes in and changes our lives and puts us on the right course. But I think that Paul still had a long way to go. You know, when he were talking about the circumcisions, you know, he was talking about, well, they should go ahead and castrate themselves and go all the way. I mean, that's not a Christian thing to say, but it shows that, you know, like us all, we, you know, we're always converting on all levels of living. And we're not done converting and growing and maturing until we see the beatific vision, until we see Jesus. We'll always be deepening our life in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I think that that's important, because a lot of folks, myself included, when this process begins and you think it's something that you're on a path to, and that everybody else that's been involved for some time must already have all the answers. You go back to church on Sunday and you look over at everybody else that's in that church, and you think that they've been coming here for a while, they must have all the answers. And, you know, pretty soon I'm going to have all the answers. And we set out on that quest, and what we find is, and what I've found is that, like you just said, it's never over. This is an ongoing thing till the day they put us 6 feet under, and we meet God face to face. It's that ongoing journey, and you know, every time, at least for myself, every time you think you've arrived and you think you know everything you need to know in order to live the spiritual life, you find another twist and another turn. You learn about a new devotion or something more about the faith that you didn't know before. And all of that is God's way of drawing us closer and closer to Him. So for each of us, it should become an adventure, you know, praying for God's will for us each day. And what, you know, what is this adventure that we're on, and what is God going to bring us next? And sometimes it can be something exciting. And sometimes it can be something that's far from exciting. Sometimes it can be, you know, those crosses that we're sometimes asked to carry. But in any event, we know that this is all part of God's plan for us. We may not completely understand it as we're going through it. But I think any time that we set aside to look back over our lives, and we can see all the instances where God has come in and put people in our path, put items that in our lives that allow us to convert, whether it would be a retreat or an illness or a death of a loved one, whatever it was, we can see how it would come into our life and as a direct result increase our faith. Or maybe when it first happened, it shook our faith, and it was only by getting through whatever it is that came our way that we were able to actually grow in faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you know, and that's right. We keep growing, and we get better and better and better, and that's so beautiful. You know that the more I get to know, the more I realize I don't know, and the more I need to. It's, a lot of it is about unknowing, and letting God come into our hearts, like He did, like He changed Saul to Paul, to come into our hearts and change us from that ego self, that false self, to the true self, that we're all children of God. But I think that's when, you know, we love God, we get better and better and better. I was thinking about even our nation and, you know, how saints, we see the saints, how they mature and how they transform. And yet that's happening to the whole world, the whole nation. You know, that grace is working in all the people, you know, because we're all God's people. And I really believe that we're getting better. There's so much hope today. You know, we see conversions over from pro-choice to pro-life more and more and more. Rarely do you see anybody from pro-life going over to the pro-choice once they get the truth that sets us free. You know, that we want to live in that truth, because that truth is what brings us fulfillment and happiness and peace and joy. I was thinking of the Jewish tradition as you were talking. And the Jewish tradition was they never buried anyone until somebody could say something good about that person. So Abraham had died, you know, and the rabbi said, "Who's going to say something good about Abe here?" And nobody could say anything good about Abe. So, and the rabbi said, "Well, everybody go home and think about it and come back tomorrow, see if we can say something good about Abe, because we have to bury him." So they go back the next day, and they come back, and nobody still has nothing to say anything good about Abe. So the rabbi says, "We got to bury him." And so someone says, "Well, I have something good to say." He said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, his father was worse than he was." And he said, "Well, that's good enough. Let's bury him." And someone asked the question, "Well, how did the father get buried?" And then somebody said, "Well, his father was worse than he was." So the moral of the story is we're getting better. I like that little tradition. Yeah, yeah. You know, we're getting better. And the world is waking up, not only waking up, but getting out of bed. You know, with the technologies today and the gospel being preached and people seeing the truths, you know, and God's revealing himself more and more. And I believe there's more conversions, and this new springtime is coming to our church where there'll be mass conversions for people to see the truth, because we're all hungry for the truth. We're all hungry. We want to be happy. You know, we want to be ecstatic. We want ecstasy. And that's all in God. Mm-hmm. And we look in the wrong places and do the wrong things. And the world lies to us that true happiness, that Jesus said, "I came to give you joy, that your joy may be complete." Abundant life is in Christ. And we're going to find that truth, and we're all going to want that, because we're built, we're wired that way for happiness, to be with God.
Very good. Well, we have a slew of saints. I should mention before we go too far, we mentioned the march on Friday, and I know my home parish, St. Luke's in Glenside, we still have a number of seats left on the bus. It's the first year. We tried to go last year and got snowed out like a bunch of others. But if anybody's still looking for a ride to Washington on Friday, we're going to have Mass at St. Luke's. The daily Mass there is at 6:30 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So we'll go to 6:30 Mass, and then the bus will be pulling out of the parking lot shortly after. If anybody's interested in joining us, you can get in touch with me through Maureen here at In His Sign at the normal numbers. And before we go any further, Father, we do have a phone call. Hello, Joe. Joe, you still there?
Yes.
How are you, pal?
Good, Ken. How you doing?
All right. What's going on?
Hi, Joe. Hi, Father. How are you?
Good.
I love this story about Paul. Hold on a second here. And to just flesh out your comments, too. People in recovery can really, I myself can really, you know, relate to this. One of the things in the story about Paul being knocked from his horse, of course, I just relate that to hitting rock bottom. I mean, in your addiction, that's when you hit rock bottom. And about regaining your sight, I think one of the things that we always say in our scripture and stuff is when we came to our, and that seems to be when, you know, to relate that to Paul when he gained it, like we regained our senses, or we came to our senses. And I like the thing the Father was saying about the constant improvement, and I know we all see that in the Franciscans also, every day a little bit of improvement, gaining, keep working with it. I think God, he's calling us, maybe he doesn't pick us off a horse or time. I think he's always calling out to us, it's just for us sometimes to listen and to hear him. He's always there. He's always called. It's just sometimes we don't hear. So, beautiful story. Understand why it was a holy day years ago. It's really the message.
Exactly.
Miracle of grace.
Yeah.
You know, where there's no human solution, there's always a divine solution. Our Lord comes to us. We're at, you know, often our wit's end, like you said, Joe, the moment of truth, rock bottom, you know, where we find that truth and we let go and we let God take over our lives. And there it is. We come out of our pride into that humility and letting God act and giving him permission, because we have nothing of ourselves. He's the vine, we're the branch. Apart from him, we wither. But with him, we can do all things, conquer all things, even the grave.
Amen. So, Joe, I want to thank you for calling in again, pal. It's always good to hear from you. And we'll catch up with you again soon, okay?
I think we lost him.
All right.
With some interference there, but
yeah.
I think we lost him.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, that's fine. But so that's the story of Paul and his conversion. And we have what do we got, about 2 minutes till the break, Father.
Yeah.
So maybe I can do I think we're going to go to St. Francis de Sales next.
Yeah. You know, maybe just to kind of end with Paul's life. I found
okay.
it fascinating, Ken, how he died.
Okay.
Of course, he was beheaded. But the tradition goes, I mean, the bravery, you know, of him, you know, he would die 1,000 deaths for Jesus. And, you know, he would just put his head down there, and they said that, I don't know how true this is, but the tradition was when he was beheaded, that his head bounced 3 times, and each time on his lips was the name Jesus. Jesus, you know. And we hear that a lot about saints dying with the holy name on their lips, which means, you know, letting Jesus come and do what he came to do, to save us from sin. And of course, the fruits of sin is death, so there's more to that than he saves us from death, but there's even more to it than saving us from death, is giving us his very own life, that glorious life, that eternal life, you know, at the holy name of Jesus. And how, you know, Paul loved Jesus, you know, with all of his heart, you know, and served him so well, and all the... He was beaten up and shipwrecked, you know, lashed, imprisoned, stoned, you know, but nothing deterred him. He just kept going and preaching that holy gospel to the people, and that missionary zeal that went throughout everywhere, you know. He was just bringing Christ to all the Gentile people. And, you know, that wasn't so much Saul or Paul. That was the Holy Spirit in him.
Exactly.
You know, that was driving him with that beautiful charism, that miracle of grace that Christ gave to him when he rescued him, you know, on that road to Damascus and blinded him physically to give him that spiritual sight where he can really see the truths and follow the Jesus all the way up to that moment of giving his life and just praying that holy name in love, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Amen. Well, we are just about the bottom of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and take a short break. When we come back, we'll be talking about St. Francis de Sales and possibly getting to St. Thomas Aquinas. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Maria Richardson. I've been working in church ministry for many years, and I want to take this opportunity to thank God for Kathleen McCarthy. Kathleen is an amazing woman of God who has been blessed with many gifts and talents for his service. She is so connected to Jesus, and his Holy Spirit speaks through her in so many ways, through her words, her actions, her prayers, and her wisdom. Kathleen has been an inspiration and a mentor to me personally for so long, and it is a great joy to know that In His Sign Radio has allowed her to become a blessing to so many people. She is a gift that must be shared, and I, for one, am very grateful. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Again, this is your host, Ken Johnston, along with my co-host, Father Doug McKay, and we thank you for being with us today. We especially want to thank you for your ongoing financial support and especially your prayerful support that's allowed this radio apostolate to survive some 40 years now. And again, we're going to be getting together at the end of April, April the 30th, at St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House to celebrate those 40 years. We're finalizing the details. We do know that it'll be the 30th. We're not sure if we're going to begin with Mass at 12:30 yet, but definitely 1:30 to 5:30 will be our meal and a special guest speaker and silent auction. And another way for all of us that support this radio apostolate to get together and spend the afternoon together. So again, we thank you for all of your support. If you haven't visited the website recently, please visit inhissign.com and check it out. I've been getting the podcasts up and pretty much up to date now with the shows from January. You can catch up with any shows you may have missed. Also, you can follow us on Facebook at In His Sign Catholic Radio. And our show in particular, Saints and Sinners on In His Sign, also has a Facebook presence. If you'd like to donate to Our House Ministries or perhaps sponsor one of our shows, please visit ourhouseministries.org and look for the donate page. We always like to put a little plug in for Calyx, a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs. We currently have three active units in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, as well as a unit in nearby Wilmington, Delaware. Excuse me. We meet every Tuesday in Grace Ferry in the Annex Building to St. Gabriel's Parish. The building's on the corner of 30th and Dickinson Street, and the entrance is on Myrtlewood. Come on up to the third floor on Tuesdays at 6 for a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7. The next meeting at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media will be on Monday, February the 13th. They meet the second Monday of each month, and they begin with a rosary in the Adoration Chapel at 6:15, followed by a Calyx meeting. And the next meeting at Queen of the Universe Parish in Levittown will be on Tuesday, February the 7th, starting at 7 o'clock in the parish building. They meet there on the first and third Tuesday of each month. And the unit in Wilmington, Delaware meets every Wednesday. They're getting together tonight. For details about that unit, please visit calyxde.org. That's calyxde.org. And for the Philly Calyx information, you can visit phillycalyx.com. Again, Father and I are available to come out to your parish and give talks and presentations. Please contact Maureen here at In His Sign, and we'll get in touch with you to plan that event. And lastly, at 5 o'clock today, I'll be joined by Heather King, and we'll be talking about an interesting character, Mother Antonia Brenner. So stick around after Saints and Sinners and join Heather King and I as we discuss Mother Antonia. So
that's amazing. 40 years, you know, I think about all the souls that have been touched and the graces, you know, the blessings that have gone out through the radio waves into so many hearts and so many households, especially the elderly, you know, who are homebound, who can't get out to different places, and they would tune into the radio program and take it in. But I think of that 40 years, Ken, it's a biblical number. And I think the Jewish people in the desert for 40 years, there were a lot of blessings in the desert, you know, a lot of revelations and graces. But after that was the promised land. And I think we're upcoming here in His Sign for more graces, more blessings, and more conversions than ever before. We're moving into the promised land, into the kingdom where all the graces and all the glory lies. 40 years. Congratulations to Kathleen McCarthy, Don Lettieri, all those on the radio program, all those behind the scenes, Frank, our producer here, and all of them. You know, it's one team. And I call it the God Squad. We're all working for the Lord, and we all have a great pension plan out of this world. Just have to die to collect it.
That's all. That's all. And I'm not in a hurry to get there yet, Father. But for all of our new listeners, perhaps we have somebody that's out there listening for the first time. Call in, joining the conversation. The number's here, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're calling from a distance, it's 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. And as you were saying that, Father, I'm thinking about the parable of the workers in the vineyard, and some worked all day, and some came in at noon, and some came later in the afternoon, and some came at the last minute. And for our new listeners, you're joining us at the last minute of this 40-year anniversary, and yet you can gain all the same benefits as those that have been listening for quite some time. So we welcome you to our In His Sign family. We hope that you'll become part of our circle of family and friends, perhaps make a donation from time to time and help this radio apostolate continue to do what it does so well, and that's bring the gospel of our Lord to as many people as possible. So, Father, yesterday we celebrated St. Francis de Sales, Bishop and Doctor of the Church, and was born in 1567, and under the name of Francis Bonaventure, and his patron saint was, it says in Butler, Poverello of Assisi, who we would know to be St. Francis of Assisi. And as I would read through part of his story, you know, what struck me was St. Francis de Sales, like a number of our other saints, when they feel the call of God, when they come to begin to understand perhaps what their vocation in life is going to be, a lot of times it can be different than what their parents wanted. We see that, of course, in Francis of Assisi, where he's a playboy and using a lot of his father's money. And then when he hears the gospel passage about selling everything he has and literally does that. And, you know, his father's not happy. His father locks him up in the house, and his mother would eventually free him. We have something similar today where, you know, St. Francis de Sales, his father wanted him to be a secular guy. He's a lawyer, a very bright young man. Like other saints, he had been, his family more or less matched him up with a woman whom he would, they would like him to marry. And, you know, eventually he would, you know, he would have to tell his father that's not what he was called to do, that he's being called to work for God. And just like St. Francis of Assisi, you know, his father would turn around and say, "I have no wish to resist the will of God, but I do not mean to be my son's murderer. I cannot be a party to throwing away his life. May God do according to his good pleasure, but as to this undertaking, it shall never have my sanction." And, you know, I think about what came to mind, Father, when I was had read that was the priest shortage that we have today, and the fewer number of religious that we have, and how many of our young people are being called to the religious life, and yet maybe it's not something that their parents necessarily want for them. I remember listening to secular radio show not all that long ago, and the host of the show was asking a similar question, you know, and basically saying to the listeners that if your son or daughter came to you and said that they were called to the religious life, how would you react? And almost to a person, those that would call in, and especially the mothers, you know, it was like, well, you know, I want my son to be married, and I want grandchildren, and I want. And I often wonder, you know, how many vocations we lose in this current age because we don't support our kids when they when they may come to us and think that they have a vocation. I think especially in these times, in certain areas, it could be even more difficult because of some of the struggles that the church is going through. And, people maybe not being able to understand why, a son or daughter would want to go into the religious life when they see some of the things that have been going on. And yet our prayer for our kids should always be to answer whatever God's calling them to be, whether it's to be married or to the religious life. And, to continue to pray for vocations, and especially for those that think they have a vocation, to support them in any way they can, and allow them to discern what it is that God would really have them do with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, they said the biggest problem with vocations, they called it momism. Either mothers keeping their kids out from joining the vocations as seminaries and convents, or pushing them in, one or the other, momism.
Yeah.
But you're right, And here, we're talking about the sales.
Hold on for a second.
Remarkable, the grace.
Yeah.
St. Francis of Assisi is his patron saint. He's named after him. When he's born, there's a painting behind him of Francis preaching to the birds and the fish. And he's a cord bearer of the Third Order Franciscan, and just kind of put his life after Francis of Assisi. Often think that, saints need saints. Saints are inspired by saints. You got Francis de Sales, inspired by Francis of Assisi, and then I think of St. John Bosco, who was inspired by Francis de Sales and named his order the Salesians after St. Francis de Sales, who was his patron. You just see how connected they all are, their love for Jesus. But with Francis de Sales, another remarkable grace there, he was a hot tempered, he was really impatient, and he has this transformation. He becomes the gentleman saint, and he's known for his kindness, his gentleness, his meekness, and how grace can just transform that. And I think about that grace that I was talking about last night, where when he was 18 years old, he had these doubts about his own salvation. He had fear of blaspheming God. He felt that he was condemned, that he was going to go to hell. And he just came, took the prayer. He knelt before his favorite statue, the Blessed Mother, and he prayed the Memorare. And all of a sudden, the doubts are lifted, and a wonderful grace. And then he makes his inroads to become ordained, and which he is, and he becomes a great writer, the devout life. He's called the Everyman Spiritual Director. Devout life that he writes, talks about everyone's called to holiness. We might not always have the same paths or the same roads, but we're all called to be holy, and we're all called to be saints. We're all called to deny ourselves, maybe not every way that, religious have to deny themselves, as married people would have to deny themselves, but we're all called to self-denial and detachment and to follow the Lord's call, His gospel way. That's what makes us holy. But with all of his tracts and writings, and he, as a priest, pastor, he liked to pray with the people, that were around him. He called them his family. And, of course, we know he became the Bishop of Geneva, and he sent to Geneva, Switzerland, where they had the heresy there of Calvinism. And he went to Geneva, and he was attacked by wolves and was two Calvinists that actually saved his life. But there, he was to win over the Calvinists. And how did he do it? With gentleness and meekness. And he was blamed, because he was too lenient on sinners. And then he talked about Saul, who became Paul, that, we need to have compassion and to bring conversions over, and which he did. He said that famous line, "You catch more flies with a teaspoon of honey than with a barrel of vinegar." And how right he is.
Well,
that meekness and gentleness and the truth. People will listen to a meek man and a humble man, and they can hear the truths. If you try to jam it down their throats, they're going to resist, and it's going to be nothing but a proud-hearted contest. Yeah. Francis de Sales, he loved people. He loved Jesus. He loved souls, and he wrote that book on the love of God. The treatise on the love of God, and he said that the measure of love is to love without measure. And that's what he did. He loved the souls, and he worked for the Lord for the salvation of souls. And along the way, he sanctified himself and became a saint himself.
Right. And so we, speaking of meek and humble, we actually have somebody meek and humble calling all the way, and I think they're calling from Florida. Hello, Hugh?
Yo, what do you say there, Mr. Kenneth?
How are you, Hugh?
I'm wonderful. How about you and Father?
Good.
You?
I've been listening to you guys on the radio since you came on. I've been away for a while. I've been taking a nap in the afternoon. I've been getting up too late to catch the radio station.
Our Lady of the Pillow, right?
I got up tonight, and I said, I got to get into the audience here and listen. You know, and very interesting, you know, to hear about St. Paul, you know, the conversion of St. Paul you know, from bad guy to good guy. And, you know, I could relate to a lot of what you guys were saying tonight on Paul and how Saul prayed for him and, you know, and he was beheaded. And it was very interesting, you know. I kind of feel kind of bad that I don't know that much about St. Paul, but I know I want to learn some more about it. And it was interesting when you said you go to church on Sundays and you look around and you want to know what everybody else does. You feel as though they know more than you do, and you want to learn that. But you're never done learning. You'll learn until the day you're dead, you know.
Mm.
And you know, it kind of got through to me a little bit, you know, that I want to learn more about, you know, some of the saints and things like that. Because I'm one of the guys who pick one saint, and I figure that's good enough. And that's what I say, like St. Francis of Assisi, you know. But you know, like you're talking about St. Thomas Aquinas, and growing up in South Philly, we had St. Thomas Aquinas School down there. And, you know, there's a lot more that I have to get more involved in as far as the saints and all that goes, you know, I'm at that point in my life where I'm very interested in being a recovering person and all that, and I knew it took God to help me recover from drugs and alcohol, and you know, it's just find it very fascinating, you know, how powerful our faith becomes, you know, as we recover it and we let God into our lives and we receive the graces of God, you know. And I heard something the other day. It said that all men are poor until they receive the grace of God, and then they're rich again. You know, they're rich with grace, you know. And it's very interesting stuff that when you pay attention that you hear, you know. But a lot of times my mind doesn't filter it as well as it used to when I was younger, you know, from all the alcohol and bad things that I have done all my life. But I really touch with St. Paul, you know, from bad guy to good guy. And, you know, I'm really happy that I was cut up and listen to the station today because, you know, I had got some knowledge that I haven't had before about St. Paul. And, you know, I can only hear you talking about one. You guys talk about three different people, you know, like, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas and all. And I'm still on Paul from when the show began.
Yeah.
You know?
Nah, that's good.
That's part of my problem.
Right? Know? Nah, it's not part of your problem. It's part of the solution, Hugh. You know, just the idea that you're listening and it has your interest. Father probably knew better than I, but after the Acts of the Apostles that we read from today at the beginning of the show, it would be a good place to start to learn about Paul and, of course, the number of letters that he wrote in the New Testament. I know you have a Bible down there, so you know, you get a chance. We don't have to read it all at once, but maybe a little bit at a time and make your way through some of Paul's letters to learn even more about him.
Oh, I'm interested in that. I definitely have my Bible right here beside
yep.
me.
There you go.
So I will get into that some more and start to find out some more things about it because I'm very interested in it. You know, I guess I don't know if it has to do with being older or what, but, you know, we all turn back to God sometime in our life, you know, and hopefully sooner than later. You know, I'm just one of the guys who got it late in life, you know. But it's better late than never. You know, I think that's what Father had said one time.
Nah.
You know, his little, you know, things that he says to you, you know, to stick, you know. But I'm just glad that you guys are on the radio still, and I'm glad I got up to listen in because they're very interesting, you know. And I wish you guys a lot of luck with the march on Friday.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Always good to hear from you, Hugh.
All right.
Yeah, well, you'll pick
I'll
up on the Acts of
and I'll
the
continue
Apostles.
To listen, and I'll continue to pray. And you guys continue to pray for me, and, you know, everything should be all right.
Very okay? good.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Hugh.
Thanks, Hugh.
Thank God bless. All right.
Thank God bless you. That's from our grandmother. Also, I was thinking with the Acts of the Apostles, where the missionary journeys of Paul, and how that, you know, picks up from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and continues in the Acts of the Apostles. But the Acts of the Apostles is also called the Gospel of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is mentioned 40 times in the Acts of the Apostles. And Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and no one can say the name Jesus except in the Holy Spirit. The very beginning of Acts, I believe it's chapter 1, verse 8, that you will receive power on high, that power of the Holy Spirit, that we need the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit makes Jesus present. And even at Mass, the epiclesis, where the priest calls down the Holy Spirit upon the bread and wine to become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Blessed Mother, when she conceived Jesus in her womb, how can this be? Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And it's that same Spirit, that same power of the Spirit that makes Jesus present in our hearts and transforms us into Himself, that we become divinized by participation. We become like Him by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's so much in the Acts of the Apostles, so much in the lives of the saints. They are truly new lights from heaven, that they really tell us the gospel stories, and they're the best exegetes who explain. I know that's a big word, but they're the explainers of scriptures. They really unpack them for us, and they show us the truths of the Word of God that is so effective and so powerful that makes us like Him, like makes us like Himself. So, Acts of the Apostles, UE, if you're listening,
yeah.
You'll find out about Paul, and you'll find out about his powers within, the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and I think, when you're talking about breaking open the scripture and the spiritual life for us too, before you call, we were talking about St. Francis de Sales. While a lot of the saints would be religious and would be writing for religious, I think St. Francis de Sales was one that was really keen on helping the secular folks, those that weren't religious, and the laity. And I think in his Introduction to the Devout Life is really focused on helping the laity to achieve holiness, where, you know, other saints would write for particular religious orders, you know, like John of the Cross and Teresa Avila, when they're trying to help the Carmelites and what have you. And on the other hand, we have De Sales, who, you know, really thought that he could help the laity to achieve some degree of sanctity.
You know, one of the religious asked Francis de Sales to write down placard on the card the most important virtue, and in big letters he wrote the word humility. That is humility, permission to let God act in us and transform us into His very own life. Humility.
Yeah, and I think that's the single virtue that allows us to even desire to figure out what God's will is for us. For someone that lacks humility, to me, they're one that thinks that they know who they, you know, they think they know who they are and what they are and what they're supposed to do, and don't necessarily try to even figure out what God's will for them is. And I think that virtue's the first step towards realizing that the world's not all about us, and that you know, God has a plan for each and every one of us, and it's in that discernment of what that plan is, and having the humility to recognize that that's even a possibility. That's the first step in actually trying to discern what that will would be for us.
Right. God can't come into our hearts until we have humble little hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking there's two kinds of people in the world, those who are humble and those who are about to be. And we see where Saul, how humbled he was, you know, knocked off, as they say, his swords. But like you say so well, Ken, from the scriptures, he's knocked down onto the ground. He's blinded. And then he, like a child, he's taken by the hand. You know, he becomes like a child now to be led. And how God knocked him off his high horse, speaking in a sense, that took away his proud heart there, and at least diminished it to make him more and more humble as he would grow in that beautiful virtue of humility and letting God act in his life. And that's all we have to do is open our hearts, let him in. You know, just turn our hearts a little bit to Jesus. He'll come running to us. And what a game changer that is. And we have his strength now and his virtues. And we can conquer all things in Christ Jesus our Lord. But anyway, with Francis there, he comes, you know, towards the end of his life. And I find it interesting where, you know, he prays that, you know, the day is far spent, the night draws near. And then his very last word is a prayer. And that last word again is Jesus, just like Paul, Jesus. How many saints die with that word on their lips? You know, just like even St. Francis of Assisi, you know, just he would wet his lips at the holy name, smack them at the sweetness of the holy name, and say, Jesus. Because right in that name, you know, it's his whole mission. It means save me. Save me from me. Save me from sin, you know, my pride. Lord, give me that new life, you know. Restore me back to that image and likeness that your Father created me into. But he breathed his last, 56 years old, at the holy name of Jesus, and went home to God. Francis de Sales.
Yeah, and that would have been 1622, and just an interesting piece of trivia, that St. Francis de Sales would be canonized, beatified, in 1662, and canonized 3 years later, which would be 1665. But he was the first person to be beatified in St. Peter's at Rome, which I thought to be interesting. Also, he was declared a doctor of the church in 1877, and Pope Pius XI would name him the patron saint of journalists. So, Lord knows we could use a patron saint for a lot of what goes on in the media today. And speaking of the media, we're going to be joined in a couple of minutes by Heather King, a prolific writer. And we are at the top of the hour, Father.
Okay. Just one little last thing here, Ken, that he had a devotion to the Sacred Heart, and he had founded the with St. Jane de Chantal, the missionary, the Visitation Sisters, where we would get the St. Margaret Mary and the Sacred Heart devotions. And that he was the founder of that, love of the Blessed Mother, and also the love of the Blessed Sacrament, his devotions.
So we have time for a quick prayer to Venerable Matt Talbot, the patron for help overcoming addictions. So God of mercy, we confidently cry out to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who ministered to all who come to him in faith. Through the powerful intercession of your servant, Venerable Matt Talbot, give your strength to all your children who are bound by the chains of alcohol and drug addiction. Enfold them in your love and bless them with the gift of true peace. Lord, look with compassion on all who have lost health, relationship, careers, and freedom due to alcoholism and drug addiction. Give them the assurance of your unfailing mercy and strengthen them in the work of recovery. To friends and family who care for them, grant patient understanding and a love that perseveres. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Venerable Matt Talbot,
pray for us.
St. Francis de Sales,
pray for us.
St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Paul,
pray for us.
And all the angels and saints,
pray for us.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. God bless. God bless, Father.
All right now.
All right. Folks, don't go away. I'll be right back and joined by Heather King shortly.